Well, good morning, El Paso and Las Cruces. It's a blessing to be with you this morning as we ponder the new year set before us. I want to congratulate you for tuning into the radio. It's a good time to be thinking about the things of God. Maybe you're driving in your car, maybe you're at home, but thinking about the things of God as we ponder this new year. What a time the world is in. We see wars and rumors of wars happening all over the world. We see Israel in a conflict there in Gaza. We see the war in Ukraine. We see the potential wars on the verge here, even with China and Russia. It is a time to be really soberly thinking about the things of God. So the title of the message this morning is The Thief, The Thief. And perhaps you've heard the reference of the second coming of Christ being called, he will come like a thief, or he's coming for the church like a thief in the night. Perhaps you've heard that. I heard on the radio recently a song singing that he's coming for his church like a thief in the night. But is that what this New Testament says about the coming of Christ? What does it actually say? How many times is he referenced as a thief? What we're going to explore in this message, all of the times the second coming is referenced as a thief, and we will try to explore it in context using scripture as our guide to find out what is really meant by that. What is meant by the coming as a thief? And hopefully it will motivate us to be watching and ready for the coming of our Lord and to be serving him with all of our hearts. The first reference of the second coming of Christ as a thief comes in Matthew chapter 24, and it comes off the heels of a question from the disciples of Christ to him. And here's what it says in verse 3. It says, 24:3 says, "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us.'" So these are the disciples of Christ. Jesus is going to respond to them. That's the context. He's not teaching this to unbelievers. It's to his disciples. "Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age." Great question. And Jesus goes on to tell them what is going to happen. He references Daniel the prophet, the abomination of desolation. And he says, when you see the abomination of desolation in verse 15, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. And so he's telling his disciples, when you see this happen. So he's giving the signs of his second coming, what to be looking for. And then in verse 29, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, that's after the great tribulation, that the second part of the 70th week of Daniel that he had already mentioned. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with the sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So we will... this is setting the stage for this, how he's going to first be referenced as coming as a thief. Now, he goes on to say that the fig tree, as it's ripening, you should know that it's near. So the signs are like a fig tree with late figs that are ripe. And as we see these signs happening, we should know the coming is near. So verse 32 says, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branches has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that the summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors." Who is seeing all these things? Well, he's telling his disciples that when they see these things, the second coming would be near. Verse 34 says, "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And then in verse 43, it says, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. So there it is. That is the first reference in the New Testament to the second coming of Christ being called, or Jesus being compared to, a thief. So in this context, he's saying watch, because a thief comes at a time you don't expect. So he's saying if the master of the house would have known, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. The Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. So be ready, be watching, because you don't want to be caught off guard. That's the idea here. And we will see that again at the next reference in Luke chapter 12, verse 35. This is a second time. And it's the same passage told by Luke. Jesus says in verse 35, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning." So we're watching. If our lamps are burning, we're using the light from our lamps to watch. "And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants for whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them." And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. There it is again. "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Then Peter said to him, "Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people?" And the Lord said, Who then is this faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will make him ruler over all that he has." Now, I want you to really think about this for a minute, because we often think of this in terms of those who are living on the earth at the time. But does this apply to everybody, or does it just apply those who are alive on the earth at the time of the coming of Christ? Well, I think these scriptures will answer that as well. So that's the second reference in Luke 12. So we have one in Matthew 24, and the second is in Luke 12 of Jesus coming as a thief. The third and the fourth reference are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's read that. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Jesus had just talked about the coming of Christ and the rapture of the church, the catching up of the church in chapter 4. And he had says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief." So there's the third and fourth reference of the thief coming. "For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." So it's called the day of the Lord. That's referenced throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament. It's called the thief in the night. Now we're reminded that this is very similar to what Paul is talking about here in 1 Thessalonians 5 as to what Jesus was talking about there. Now this is the key verse, verse 4, the fourth time it's referenced. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." So this is a little different than what I've been told about this verse, that he's coming for the church like a thief. Actually, what it's saying here is, and what he said in Matthew 24 and Luke 12, that we should be watching, that this day should not overtake us as a thief. Paul is saying, look, if our lamps are burning and we're watching, if we're sons of the light and sons of the day, you are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. So it should not come upon a Christian who is watching and serving his master as a thief, because we're serving with expectation. We're watching for those signs that Jesus mentioned. We're watching with expectation. We're saying, oh, yeah, wow, the time must be getting close. But regardless, we're serving. Our lamps are filled with oil. Verse 6 in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch. Let us watch. Okay? So we must be watching. We must be on guard. Let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now there we go. Whether we wake or sleep, the dead in Christ are going to rise. So even people who have already died, if they were watching and waiting and serving the Lord, they get to go first at this coming. When he comes, they will be raised first. They aren't going to miss the rapture, the second coming of Christ, because they go first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We see the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15 and also in 1 Thessalonians 4, saying that this is going to happen even before those who are alive and remain. So all believers of all ages will be raptured together. They will be brought together at the coming of Christ, when he comes as a thief. But again, we're not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. That's what I've learned so far in this study. But let's look at Revelation chapter 3, as Jesus is speaking to the dead church in Sardis. Listen to this. And to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You see, here it is again. The thief is going to come upon a dead church who is not watching. If you're not watching, that's what's going to happen. So the thief is not, he's not coming for a watching church as a thief. He's coming on those who are not watching, on those who are not looking, as he said in Matthew 24 and Luke 12. And as Paul said, you are not in darkness that this day should overtake you as a thief. But Jesus is warning a church that they will be overtaken as a thief, and they will not know what hour he's coming upon them because they aren't watching. They haven't repented. So it's a warning. The thief is a warning to us there in Revelation. That is the sixth time. And I just realized I skipped over 2 Peter chapter 3. This is the fifth time it's referenced as a thief. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, it says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. So here again, we see it as the day of the Lord. And if you study the day of the Lord, you see that's going to be a day of wrath, a day of those who are not watching. If he comes as a thief, it's going to be burned away. He's going to come as a thief. And then at the end, I believe it's the end of his millennial reign, the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat after the great white throne judgment, as we see in Revelation chapter 20. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? There it is again. We're looking for it and we're hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So for the believers who are watching, this is a day of hope and restoration, a day when Christ will come and we will be watching, expecting him. Not like the dead church in Sardis that we spoke about. He's going to come as a thief, and you will not know what hour I come upon you, he says, if you're not watching. But Peter says it can actually be a hopeful day this coming if we, according to his promise, are looking, are watching for that new heavens and that new earth. And then we see the final warning of the coming of Christ as a thief in Revelation chapter 16, verses 12 to 16. And this is after the sixth bowl judgment. It's very consistent with Matthew 24 in as far as the timing goes. We see, and then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So this is during the time of the Antichrist and the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Speaking of the battle of Armageddon. And right here, Jesus gives his final warning that he's coming as a thief. He says, "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." You see, if the thief, somebody sleeping in their house, not watching for the thief coming, he'll come upon them and they'll be overtaken. And so he's saying, keep your garments on, keep your lamps filled with oil, be watching, because I'm coming as a thief. And it's a warning. You are not in darkness, brethren, that day should overtake you as a thief. If we're walking in light, this day should not overtake us as a thief. And here we see in Revelation 16, verse 16, and they gathered them together to the place in Hebrew called Armageddon. Okay, so this is it coming at a time. Now, remember, at this time, you see the Antichrist is there. The people believe that he is the Christ. He's the Messiah of all these religions of the world, even atheists and everyone else. Boy, this is the guy who's going to save everything. So you can imagine that when Jesus comes back and they're all gathered around the Antichrist, what a thief coming that will be. He will come on them as a thief. And all the false religions, false Christians who have embraced him as the Messiah, he's going to come on them as a thief and those who are not watching. This, as I studied these seven references to the coming of Christ as a thief, I was blown away, because this isn't how I've been taught this. I've been taught it, maybe I've learned it more from movies and books than from what the scripture actually says. Folks, this is a warning. This is a warning to be watching and ready for the coming of the Lord. We know that the Lord died for us, that he laid down his life for us, that we might live in him, that we might be filled with the Spirit, that our lamps would be filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit, that the old man would be put away, that we would die to our old selves. I was just reminded this morning, talking with some friends in a prayer meeting, that my worst enemy is myself. I know no one who's been a bigger problem in my life than me. And so no wonder Paul said, I die daily. We must die to ourselves every day, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and be watching and ready that that day would not overtake us as a thief. I was spending some time with a friend yesterday at work, and he was talking about how perilous the times are in the world right now. And I shared with him about the many prophecies of the first coming of Christ, and then also the many prophecies that would be preceding the signs of the second coming of Christ. And we see Israel gathered together as a nation again, the nation restored. We see them for the first time in 2023. There's more Jews in the land of Israel than anywhere else on earth. So we've seen the scales tip to more Jews having moved back to Israel than ever before. We see them speaking Hebrew again, a dead language restored, a dead nation restored. They had been scattered and regathered, fulfilling many prophecies as we just studied through the Old Testament. And we see them being a burdensome stone to the whole world right now. And we see them in the news every single day. We see it culminating. And this friend of mine was like, boy, he's not a believer, but he said, I can't see a solution to this. I see nothing other than, boy, God intervening in the coming of Jesus. And I think he was saying it somewhat, maybe sarcastically and certainly in unbelief. But he was just basically saying it's going to take a miracle. And he even recognizes that as an unbeliever. And I said, that's right. And the scripture says that's what's going to happen. The only thing that's going to resolve this problem of this irrational hatred of Israel by the whole world and the burdensome stone that they are to the world is the coming of Christ. And I want to go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and in verse 13 it says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." That means the dead are going to be coming back with him. Those who have died in Christ will be coming back in the clouds with Jesus. They are the clouds coming with Christ. Verse 15, it says, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." See, the dead in Christ don't miss the rapture. When Jesus comes, he's going to gather them together to him at the resurrection of the dead first, even before he raptures those who are alive and remain, as we see in verse 17. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." And then we see Paul warning to not let that day overtake you as a thief. "You are not in darkness, brethren, that this day should overtake you as a thief." Again, I find no reference in the New Testament that Jesus is coming for his church as a thief, unless you're the dead church of Sardis. He's coming on those who are not watching. He's coming for those, for the world, for the worldly church, for the dead church as a thief. For those of us who are watching, he's coming as a bridegroom, and we are like the bridesmaids waiting for our master, for the groom to come, holding our lamps, having it filled with oil, watching and waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. That's how we should be. It won't overtake us as a thief if we are watching for the Lord. Jesus died and rose from the dead. This is true, and I'll tell you what, it is amazing to see the prophecies not only that have been fulfilled in the past, but that are being fulfilled right before our eyes as the fig tree ripens. We must be watching. So a vision for 2024, I would just challenge myself and challenge each one of you. Let's take our faith more seriously. Let's take our life in Christ more seriously. Perhaps you're listening and you've never trusted in Christ. I would encourage you right now to put your faith and trust in Jesus. Call on him. Ask him to save you and to make you like one of those who would be watching with your lamps filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit, that you would be on fire for him, and to turn away from the things of this world. The things of this world are just snares. Alcohol, pornography, partying, the distractions of sports and all these other things we can fix our minds on. The scripture says to set our minds on things above and to know that whether we live or die, we are going to be there at the resurrection if we're watching for Christ. We don't want to be there at the second resurrection when he raises the dead and judges them because they were lacking faith in Christ, because they had rejected Jesus as their Savior. So please put your trust in Christ this year. And for those of us who believe, let's take our faith more seriously as we walk into this coming year and having our lamps filled with oil, watching and waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you all.